We're continuing the Shir in Likutei Halachos, Or HaChaim, Chelek Gimel, Hilchos Purim, Halacha Dalet, Paragraph Hey. We dedicate the Shir today for a complete Refuah Shelema for Akiva Michoel ben Sora Ahuva, Menachem ben Rishabasha, Shmuel Doi ben Furmepero, Chavaliba bas Mirim Dvoira, Yus Behendel bas Gitalea, Sora Rochel bas Yus Behendel, and all the others that need a Refuah. This halacha again is based on chapter 33 in Likutei Moran, which speaks especially about the topic of Ahava Shebiyomim and Ahava Shebedas. Ahava Shebiyomim is a lower level of holiness. Ahava Shebedas is a super high level of holiness where there's no concept of bad. There's no left side over there. There's only good. Let's continue inside, paragraph A. V'alkein chayev lebesumi bepurayo ad delo yoda bein oro haman leboruch Mordechai. And based on what we've been learning here, we'll be able to understand why the halacha tells us that a person is supposed to become intoxicated on Purim to the extent where the person doesn't know the difference between cursing Haman and blessing Mordechai. Kishom lemala mehadas. Because on Purim, we're connecting to that place that's above Das. V'shom ein shayach loymar or Haman. There's no concept of cursing anyone, even Haman. Kishom hu kuloi toiv. Because there's only good. Lemala mehamidois. Above all the midois. Lemala miyemei toiv yemei ra. Above the concept of good days and bad days. And this is also tied into the secret of Paraduma, which we mentioned, we read about right after Purim, Shehu Bechinas Chuka. The law of the mitzvah of Paraduma is a choik. It's something that's above rationale, lemala mehadas. V'hu metame tohoirim u'metaher temeim. The Torah tells us that the ashes of the Paraduma purify a person who is tamei, a person who is impure, and they cause tuma to one who is pure, the one who is involved in the process of preparing the paraduma. She'yef shelohofen zasoid ad laosid, whereby it's impossible for us to understand this contradiction, this secret, until the future she'yizgale ha'toira hagnuza kanal. When they will be revealed, the hidden Torah, the secrets of Torah, the deepest part of the Torah. Paragraph of V'zeh Bechinas, now Rav Nosson Zal explains what we find in the Torah, that when the Jews came out of Egypt and Amalek came out to attack us, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu went up on a hill and he raised his hands in tefillah to Hashem. And the Pasuk says, V'hoyo kasher yore Moshe yodoi. When Moshe Rabbeinu would lift up his hands, the Govar Yisrael, the Jews would be winning the battle. The Chasher Yoniach, and when Moshe Rabbeinu allowed his hands to come down, the Govar Amalek Chas V'Shom, then Amalek became stronger. So the Gemara, in analyzing this, the Gemara says, V'chiyodov shel Moshe oisois melchama, is it the hands of Moshe Rabbeinu that were defining the success or failure in the battle? The Gemara says it doesn't mean that literally. Ela bizman sheYisrael mistaklen lamalo heim noitzchim. The point that's being made here in Moshe Rabbeinu lifting up his hands means looking upward, looking to Hashem. And that's what the Gemara says, that when the Jews look up to Hashem for salvation, then we're victorious. Ki kishem izgaber klipa samolek chas v'shon, because when the klipa of Amalek becomes powerful, Azai hatikun lehistake lamalo. Then the solution is we have to look up. Lehistake ulahoven bishoyresh achizosoy lamalo. To look and to understand the source from where Amalek draws from above. Lahoven shehu mekabel chius melamalo mehakedusha hagavoya lamalo mikol hakedushas. To understand that Amalek receives his spiritual energy, his power, from the highest place of holiness, which is above all standard levels of holiness. And through this realization, when we realize that Amalek is not an entity unto himself, Amalek also has to come on to Hashem to draw energy. His energy, his power is also only from Hashem. And therefore, our focus is directed to Hashem. Hashem help us. Hashem save us. Through this, we weaken Amalek and we bring about his complete downfall. Now, Rav Nosson Zal continues, paragraph Zion. Esther, hi bechinas ha-hastara. The name Esther of the great Sadekis, the heroine of Purim, is associated with hiddenness. Bechinas ha-kedusha ha-gavoyanal, referring to that very high level of holiness that's very hidden. Shehi nisteres v'ne'elemes. V'zois ha-kedusha daika. And specifically this holiness, migoidel ma'alosa, because it is so great, vegoidel ha'hastarosa, and because it is so hidden, he yecholo likones be'imke haklipos. It's this holiness that has the ability to enter into the worst tuma, impurity, the depths of the klipos. Because this holiness is actually the source from which they draw their life. Because of the fact that this Kedusha is so well hidden and covered up, the Tuma doesn't touch it in any way and doesn't harm it in any way. Even though they are receiving their life energy and they're drawing from it, but they can't touch it or harm it in any way. This is illustrated by what the Torah tells us regarding Esther, shenilkecho l'Achashverosh, that she was taken to the palace of Achashverosh, v'nichneso ba'oimek haklipos, and she went inside the depths of tuma, of impurity. Kihu bechinas hastora. This is the concept of the kedusha becoming hidden, swallowed up. Shemishom daika mekablim chius. It's this hiddenness, this Esther, this hidden light from which the sitrachra draws its chius. Vialkain, and therefore, even though when we read this story on a children's level, it seems as if Achashverosh married her and lived with her and had physical contact with her, but be'emes lo nogabo Achashverosh kemuva. The Sifrei Kabbalah explained that Achashverosh never touched Esther physically. Whenever he wanted to use her for his purposes, there was a shed, a heavenly angel that substituted, that was a stand-in for Esther. Tosfos even mentions this in the Gemara in Masechta Megillah. The source for this is the Tikkunei Zohar. Ki hi nisteres v'ne'elemes b'tachlis ha'loma. Because Esther, this high level of holiness, is secluded and hidden and covered up to the highest degree of hiddenness. Ve'ein ha'klipois noigen bo chas v'sholom klal. And therefore the klipois, the forces of tuma, do not touch it whatsoever. V'afal pikein, and even though they don't touch it, they don't make any physical contact with it, chas v'shalom, in any way, despite that, nehenin v'yonkim imenu, they benefit and draw energy from it. Now, years ago, a person would say, that's ridiculous. You can't receive from something unless you're holding it. But today, we know that there's a Bluetooth, and there's wireless, and there's this. You don't have to hold anything. You don't have to touch anything to be able to receive energy from there. Because it's from the aspect of hiddenness that they draw. And this is why the Gemara says, the Gemara uses the terminology that Esther Hamalka sat in Achashverosh's lap And then she would dip herself in the mikveh, purify herself, and she would sit in the lap of Mordechai HaTzadik. Ki zois hakedusha, because this holiness that's called Esther, mi goitel hastarosa, because of the fact that it is so incredibly hidden, yoyredes beimke haklipos kanal, it has the ability to go down into the lowest places of tumah and klipa, aval afal pikein ein noigin bo klal. But despite that, they do not touch her whatsoever. Rak Mordechai zoicha oleha. It's only Mordechai HaTzadik that zoicha to make contact with this incredible holiness. Ki hu masig bechinas Esther. Because Mordechai HaTzadik is zoicha to achieve this great holiness called Esther, bechinas ha-hastora, this hidden light. Shehi bechinas oyer ha-gonuz va-hatsofun kanal, which is this incredibly hidden light which existed during the time of creation, and then Hashem hid it away for the future when Moshiach comes. Rav Nosson Zal adds, v'hovein hadvorin heitev, understand what we're teaching here well, because these are very important concepts in Yiddishkeit. V'oid l'loka milen, and there's still more to be said about this in Yitzhak Hashem. Paragraph Ches. V'alkein purim mutter ba'asiyas melacha ve'ein boi shum kidushas yontav klal. Based on what we're learning here, we'll understand why on Purim, a person is allowed to do all types of work. Go in a car, turn on lights, money, everything. And there is no obvious holiness of Yontif like on the other holidays. Meaning we don't make Kiddush, and certain we don't refrain from doing any type of work. Ki Purim hu bechinas he'oras ha'kedusho ha'govoya ma'oid ma'oid. Because Purim represents this incredibly high level of holiness. Shemigoidel oitzem ha'kedusho ein royim shom shum kedusho. Whereby because it is so high a level of holiness, we don't see it as holiness. We've mentioned this in the past. The sun, for example, which is one of the brightest forms of light, if you look directly at the sun, if you stare at the sun, you will see black, you'll see darkness. There's a pasuk, Yoshes Choshech Sisroi. Hashem places his hiddenness in darkness, meaning that we're referring to so high a level of light that when we look at it, when we perceive it, it looks like darkness. But it's only me'oimek ha'or. It's only because it's so great a light. We once mentioned this, I heard from Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, when he was giving Shurim in Tikkunei Zohar, in the introduction of the Tikkunei Zohar, it asks a question that every morning, the opening of the blessings of Kriya Shema, we say, Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Yoitzer Oyer, Uvoirei Choshech. Hashem who creates light and creates darkness. Now it uses the term Yoitzer and Boirei, which correspond to two of the worlds that Hashem created. The Olam HaYetzira is the world of the angels, and the Olam HaBriya is the world of the throne of Hashem, which is a much higher level than the Olam HaYetzira. So the Zohar HaKadosh asks, then 1 second, if Yetzira is called Oyer, then why is Bria called Choshech? Bria is a higher level light. And the Zohar HaKadosh answers, Me'oimek HaMusag. Because it is so deep, it's so high a level of light, it appears to us as if it's darkness, simply because it's so hidden, it's so far away from us. Just like when we look at the stars, for example, we see these tiny dots in the sky. To us, it appears like tiny dots. Whereas in actuality, these stars are much larger than Earth and anything we can perceive. Uke'en mashekosav Rabbeinu Zal, Rav Nosson Zal says, this concept is similar to what Rabbeinu Zal writes about in chapter 243 of Likutei Moran, where he mentions the Gemara that says, Al kol hashirim kodesh, v'shir hashirim kodesh kadoshim. All of the songs in the Torah are holy. Shir hashirim is the holiest of all of them. V'shom b'sefer shir hashirim daika, ein shom shum tevois kedusha v'tara klal. And yet, if you study shir hashirim, you don't find any words, any obvious words of holiness whatsoever. Because it's Kodesh Kadoshim, because it is so high a level of Kedusha, that the Kedusha is hidden. You don't see it in any obvious way. But when you study it properly, you study the Zohar Kodesh and Shir HaShirim, and all the Sifrei Kabbalah and Sifrei Chassidus, which are all based on Shir HaShirim, you see that this is the brightest light in the whole Torah. Ki kol hayomim toivim, shem b'chinas yemei toiv, yesh bohem kama v'kama kedushas. Because all the holidays, which are called yom toiv, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, they have many revealed forms of holiness. Shemekachin hayomim toivim, which sanctify these good days, alidei kiddush, vasiyas melacha, by making kiddush, by refraining from doing work, ukiyotze bohem, and other restrictions or other forms of revealed holiness. Why? Kihein bechinas yemei toiv, because they are good days. Shehem keneged yemei ra, which is the opposite of bad days. Al kein tzrichin linoy behem kama kedushais. That's why we must perform certain acts of holiness during these days, kidei lahamshich ulehisgaber hayamei toiv, in order to draw upon ourselves the good days, ulehachmiya hayamei ra, and to weaken, to eliminate the bad days. Ve'im oisin chas v'shon eizam alocha shalchoyel biyontif, and if we go ahead and perform any weekday activity on any one of these holidays, azay yecholim lehizgaber hayamei ra, we can chas v'sholem strengthen the bad days, sheyinikosam mimalochei shelchol kayedua, which draw their energy from the work, the types of work that we do on weekdays, as is known in the Sforim. Al kein asurim basiyas malocha. That's why on those holidays, we're forbidden to perform any weekday type of work. Aval bePurim, whereas on Purim, shenichna v'nizbatel shoyresh hora legamri, when not only is the evil eliminated, but even the source of ra is eliminated completely. V'nizgale oyer hagonos, and there is revealed this hidden light, oyer ho'avo shebedas, shehu lemala mehayom v'amidos. This light that's above all days, above all midos, above chesed, gevura, tiferes. Al kein ein tzrichin lekadesh yemei hapurim b'kedushas yontif. Therefore, we don't have to perform any action to declare this day of Purim holy, to sanctify it. Ki hu lemala mehayomim, because Purim is above the standard days. Ve'ein tzrichin shum kedusha lehachnia yemei hora shelo yashlitu chashon. We don't have to perform any specific act of holiness to eliminate the bad days, that the bad days shouldn't have any control. Ki ein lohem shum shlito oz. Because the bad days are not in the picture on Purim. They don't exist on Purim. They have no power. Zialkein afilu im oisin malochei shelchol. And therefore, on Purim, even if we perform weekday activities, we go in a car, we turn on lights, we buy, ein lahora shum shlito v'achiza bohem klal. The ra, the evil, has no power over these acts of work into using it for their benefit. Ki oz nichna v'nizbatel hora legamri b'sharoshoi. Because on Purim, the ra, the evil, is defeated and eliminated completely at its source. Shafilu imoisem alocha shel choel, so that even if we perform weekday activities, The Ra has no control, no power, no connection to it. Ki oz nizgale oyer hagonos, because on Purim is revealed this hidden light, oyer ho'avo shebedas, which Rabbeinu Zal refers to over there in chapter 33 as the light of avo shebedas, shehu lemala mehazman, which is above time, lemala mehayomim vamidos, it's above days and measurements, lemala mikol hakedushas, it's above all standard types of holiness. I once heard from Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Levracha, that one of its tzaddikim writes that the word Purim shows that this holiday is koilel. It contains in it all of the holiness of all the other holidays put together. The Pei stands for Pesach. The Vav stands for the Sukkos. The Reish stands for Rosh Hashanah. The Yud is Yom Kippur. And the Mem is Matan Torah, the day that the Torah was given, which is the holiday of Shavuos, a way of showing how great Purim is. Again, and we mentioned that the Tikkuni Zohar writes that Yom Kippur is called in the Torah Yom Kippurim. It's a day that's like Purim, seeming to imply, again, how great Purim is, that Purim is even still higher. On Yom Kippur, in order for us to connect to the Kiddusha of Yom Kippur, we're not allowed to do work, we have to fast, we have to do all of these things. On Purim, we're connecting to that same incredible high level of holiness through joy, through shalach manis, eating hamantashen, waving our gragas, putting on costumes, all of these things. Baruch Hashem. Any questions, please?
Sorry, what was the mem for, the last mem in Purim?
Matan Torah. Matan Torah, which is, it's called Zman Matan Torah Seinu, Shavuos, the holiday of Shavuos. Anyone else, please?
According to the explanation that Esther and Malka wasn't really the Tach HaShverosh, does that mean Daryavish was not really the son of Esther, and he was like a son?
Good question. It's brought in the Navi that from the union between Ahasuerus and Esther was born Daryavish. I believe that that's the case, that he was born from this union that Ahasuerus had with this female shade. The Gemara, in describing, defining shadim, says that they're similar to human beings in certain ways, that shadim reproduce like humans. Again, the Sifrei Kabbalah, the Arizal, discuss this. Okay. Baruch Hashem, this was all the halachas are incredible. Sometimes you feel it or you see it even more. Now, the next two halachas, halacha Hey and halacha Vav, are a little bit longer than the ones we've had till now, and again, are going to be very enlightening. Halacha Hey, Al pi hamaymar abosho loymer koiver mesim hoisi. This chapter of Likutei Halachos is based on chapter 55 in Likutei Moran, which is based on a Gemara, where the Gemara says, abosho, one of the rabbis once said, I was a grave digger. And one time, pamachas ratzi, one time I was running, and the Gemara tells a whole fantastic story there. Basefer horishon, this chapter of Likutei Moran appears in the first half of Likutei Moran, chapter 55, Ayin Shom Kol HaMaimara. Study that entire chapter in Likutei Moran to have a good base to understand this halacha best. V'haklal, to summarize what Rabbeinu Zal says there, Ki lirois b'mapolosom shel rishoyim efsher kim al yidei b'chinas Eretz Yisrael. In order for us to be able to see the downfall of the wicked, it's impossible to achieve that without the aspect of Eretz Yisrael. Bibchinas, as the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Shev liyemini, Hashem says, sit down to my right, ad oshis oivecho hadoim l'raglecho, and until I will make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Meaning the downfall and defeat of your enemies when you're sitting to my right. And we know that Yemin Zebechinas Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is referred to as the right. Bechinas, as the Torah tells us, Binyamin, that the final son of Yaakov Avinu was named Binyamin, Ben Yomin, Shenoilad Beretz Yisrael, the son of the right side, because he was born in Eretz Yisrael. Ulahamshech Bechinas Kedushas Eretz Yisrael Achshav Begolos. How do we draw upon ourselves the holiness of Eretz Yisrael now when we're in exile? Whether we're living outside of Eretz Yisrael or whether we're living in Eretz Yisrael and we're still in exile. Rabbein Zal explains there, Bebechinas, as the Pasuk says, Af gam zois, behiyoisam be'eretz oyveihem, that even when the Jews will be in the lands of their enemies, Hashem says, I will not reject them. And it says there, Vizocharti es brisi Yaakov, Vaf es brisi Yitzchok, Vaf es brisi Avram Eskor. Hashem says, I'll remember the covenant that I made with Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. So Rabbeinu Zal explains there, Hual yedei his noitzitzus oirz chusovois, by activating the light of the merit of Avram, Yitzchok, Yaakov, that connects us to Eretz Yisrael. That gives us the ability to draw from Eretz Yisrael the power to defeat of our enemies. Because the Pasuk there says, I'll remember the covenant with Yaakov, Yitzchok, and Avraham, v'ho'oretz eskor, and I'll remember the land. That's also part of that same Pasuk. And Rabbeinu Zal explains there, ki horishoim mamshichim bechinas ra'ayin al soineihem. The wicked people draw the evil eye upon their enemies. That's one of the ways that they harm us. V'ho'odom nitzol mira'ayin hazeh al yedei limud zechus she'ho'odom melamed al harosho. And Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likut Imran, how does a person protect themselves and save themselves from being harmed by this ra'ayin of the rosho? By judging the rosho favorably, meaning by being able to justify in our minds why Hashem is allowing this rosho to live. Why Hashem is allowing this rosho to do what he's doing. Ki gam HaKadosh Baruch Hu melameid zchus al harosho, because Rabbeinu Zal shows there in Likut Imran that even Hashem judges the rosho favorably sometimes, bishvil lahatzil es hatzadik mira'ayin shel harosho, in order to save the tzadik from being harmed by that evil eye of the rosho. Rabbeinu Zal over there, Likut Imran, goes into explaining this. Before we continue, I was zocher to hear from Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha, that Rabbeinu Zal writes that when Esav was coming to attack Yaakov Avinu and to kill him, the Torah tells us that he brought with him an army of 400 men. Who cares? Why does the Torah tell us an army? What significance? What does that teach us? Rabbeinu Zal points out that teaches us the power of Esav. The power of the Rosho is the power of Ra'ayin, evil eye. The words Ra'ayin are bigematria 400. That's what Esav is all about. Esav said, when they were exchanging greetings, Esav said, Yeshli Rav, why are you bringing me these gifts? Yeshli Rav, I have a lot. When Yaakov Avinu spoke, he said, Yeshli Koil, I have everything. The Rosho has a lot, but it's never enough. It's never enough. He always wants more. Any wealth he has is like drinking salt water. It just makes him want more and more. The tzaddik says, Yeshli Koil, I have everything I need. I'm not lacking in anything, Baruch Hashem. So the power of Esav is this power of Ra'ayin. If Esav is Ra'ayin, then Yaakov Avinu must be Toivayin. Where do we see this? And the answer is that when the Torah speaks about when Yaakov Avinu is about to leave the world, Parshas Vayechi begins with the words, Vayechi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim, 17 shana. It defines the life of Yaakov Avinu. And it says he lived in Egypt 17 years, Vayihiyu kol yemei chayov, and his entire life was 147 years. Mea shana, mea shevavoyim shana. Which means that in Eretz Yisrael he lived 130 years, in Egypt 17, Toiv is 17, Ayin Yud Nun is 130. This was the life of Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu is the Toiv Ayin, the one who has a good eye. And there's a pasuk that says, Toiv Ayin Hu Yevoirach, that one who has a good eye, he is blessed. This is why this pasuk introduces Parshas Vayechi, which has a major production about Yaakov Avinu blessing his 12 sons. Why is he the one who's in a position to give these incredible blessings? Because he's the Toivayim, and he is blessed, and he is the one who has the ability to give blessing. Back inside, Kilesalek Hadin Vahamishbot. Because in order to remove any judgment, Tzorich Lozeh Hizgalos Hayad requires revealing the hand. Bebechinas, as it says in the pasuk, V'soicheis b'mishpot yodi, my hand grabs hold of the judgment and holds back the judgment. U'kishin Hizgale Yad Hashem, and Rabbeinu Zal explains over there, when the hand of Hashem is revealed, naset seil, it generates a shade, sheboi niskase hatzadik me eres shel harayim, which covers and protects the tzadik from the poison of the evil eye of the rasha. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, betzeil yodi kisisicho. Hashem says, with the shade of my hand, I cover you. Rav Nosson Zal is giving us just a few words here. Each one of these few words is a major paragraph over there in Likutei Moran, which Rabbeinu Zal expounds on. Vayidezeh nischazek ma'or einov shel tzadik. And when the tzadik is being protected and shielded from the ra'ayin of the rasha, through this, the vision of the tzadik becomes strengthened. Ve'yochoy liroy sulahasik tzidkosoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the tzaddik is able to see and understand the righteousness of Hashem, afal pi shaharosha zoiche badin, even though it seems as if the rasha is being successful in Hashem's judgment. V'nispashet liboi me'akminis, and the heart of the tzaddik is smoothed out. He doesn't have any crookedness, chas v'shalom. He doesn't have any negative feelings towards Hashem. He doesn't have any questions on Hashem. Why is Hashem doing this? Why is Hashem allowing the Russia to go his merry way? U'mechazek es atzmoi, and the tzaddik strengthens himself, he encourages himself, u'mispalel al tzrochov, and he's able to daven for all of his needs. Kinis yasher liboi b'shleimus emunah, because his heart becomes completely smoothed out. The crookedness is eliminated completely through this perfection of faith. Ki ikar hatfila al yedei emuna, because we know that the whole essence of tefillah is an expression of faith in Hashem. Vezeh bechinas poraduma, and over there in Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal goes into a discussion explaining the mitzvah of poraduma and all of its details. V'zeh b'chinas ofor v'efer. In the paraduma, there were the ashes of the paraduma when it was burned, and there was also dirt from the mishkan that was mixed into these ashes in order to perform the sprinkling of the ashes of the paraduma. V'gam tzorech l'sakin b'tfilosoi b'chinas gimel koilos. Rabbeinu Zal goes on to explain over there that a person, when he's praying, has to rectify the three types of sounds. Validei tefila kitikunoi, And when a person succeeds in empowering their tefillah properly, through this, misnoitzeitz oris chusavois, this causes the light of the merit of our forefathers to shine brightly. Bebechinas chalo zuchusavois, as the Zohar Kodesh associates the mitzvah of chala, a woman separating chala from the dough, with the merit of the three forefathers. Ubasar de ovois tamon, shchinta tamon. And the Zohar Kodesh tells us that wherever Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are found, the divine spirit of Hashem is found. Shehi bechinas chala. And the divine spirit of Hashem, the Shekhinah, is referred to by the term chala. Shehi gam zois. The word chala is bigematria 43, which is the word gam, which represents the Shekhinah, as we find in that pasuk that I quoted earlier. Ve'af gam zois bihiyosam be'eretz oyveihem. And also this, when the Jews will be in the land of their enemies, Hashem will not reject us. The Zohar HaKadosh says that these words Gam and Zois are nicknames of the Shekhinah. The word Zois, the Zohar HaKadosh gives maybe 20 examples, 20 psukim throughout the Torah, where the word Zois represents the Shekhinah. Bezois ani boiteach. My trust is in the Shekhinah, in Zois, and many other psukim. And the word Gam also represents the Shekhinah. We have the pasuk Hine Matoiv Umanoim Sheves Achim Yachad. It would say how good and sweet it is when brothers live together. It doesn't say that. It says Sheves Achim Gam Yachad. And the Zohar HaKadosh says this means that when there's unity in Klal Yisrael, when there's unity in a family, Gam. Hashem says also, I'm in there also, include me also. Gam is l'raboy sashchina. And the words gam yachad are bigimatria 65, which is aleph dalet nun yud, which is the name of the Shekhina, the divine spirit of Hashem. Ki gam bechinas chala shehu shir mem gimel beitzim, because also the mitzvah of chala, which is 43 eggs, the size of a dough that requires separation of challah, is the displacement of 43 eggs, the Gemara says. Vehi bechinas Yerushas Eretz Yisrael. And this is tied in with inheriting the land of Eretz Yisrael. Validei bechinas Eretz Yisrael. And when we activate the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, loy dai shenitzol mira'ayin shel harishoyim, not only will that ensure that we'll be saved and protected from the evil eye of the Rishoyim, Elogam Roya Bohem Mashehem Rotsu Lirois Boy. But in addition, the person will see happen to the wicked people what they wanted to make happen to us, Chas V'Shalom. The harm that they wanted should befall us will go on them. This is all from Likutei Moran, chapter 55. Rabbi Nazal continues over there, Veda, and you should know, Shelav kol odom yochoy lesakein koiloy seilu bitfilosoy. Not every person is capable of perfecting the three koilois, the three sounds that Rabbi Nazal speaks about over there in Likutei Moran, through his prayer. Ki lefa'omim, Hakoiloi sanal betfilosoi yoitzin meirishoim gedoilim. Because sometimes these sounds, which are trying to challenge and harm a person's prayer, are coming from very powerful rishoim. Kimoi bechinas oig melech haboshon, like the giant oig. Shafilu Moshe Rabbeinu olav hashalom hoyo misyorim imenu, whereby the Torah tells us that even Moshe Rabbeinu expressed fear. He was afraid of Oig Melech HaBoshan, and he had to be assured by Hashem. Hashem had to tell him, Al Tiroi, say, don't be afraid of him, because I'm going to give him over into your hands. Ki achizosoi hoyosomoch liyamin, because Oig's connection was very close to that right side, Shehu Eretz Yisrael, which is Eretz Yisrael. Sichon and Oig were parked right next to the entrance of Eretz Yisrael. That's where they were positioned. Ki hoyom ibnei beisoy di Avraham. And we know also that Oig was a member of the household of Avraham Avinu. The Torah tells us that when the battle took place between the four kings and the five kings, and Oig, the nephew of Avraham Avinu, was captured, it says, Vayovoi hapolit, the refugee came to tell Avraham Avinu about the fact that his nephew was captured. And Rashi points out from the Gemara, who was this refugee? This was Oig Melech HaBoshan, who was a refugee from the time of the flood. He had escaped the flood, and again, he was around at that time, and he went and he performed this act of kindness, in a sense, for Avraham Avinu, in revealing to Avraham Avinu that Loit had been captured, and Loit was the one upon whom the whole future of Klal Yisrael depended. From Loit would come Moav, would come Rus, would come Dovr HaMelech, would come Moshiach. So Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid of this shlichus, this mission that Oig had accomplished serving Avraham Avinu, that this merit might make it impossible for Moshe Rabbeinu to defeat him. Ad she'omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe, until Hashem had to say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Al tira oisai, don't be afraid of him. Vaydezeh, and through this, had tzadikim, those tzadikim shem oisei toiv, who are always performing good deeds, heim zoichim lepenei Hashem. They are zoichim to receive the face of Hashem. Ki koidem krisus harishoim, because before the rishoim are sliced away, are eliminated, hoya pnei Hashem mustar umechusa ba'oisei ra. The face of Hashem was hidden and covered up among the evildoers, kidei lahachrisam, in order to bring about their downfall. V'asha, but now, takeif kisheroyim b'krisis rishoyim, as soon as we see the downfall of the rishoyim, takeif nizgale pnei Hashem lo'isei toiv. Immediately the face of Hashem is revealed to these tzaddikim, these who are oisei toiv. Over there in Likutuman, Rabbeinu Zal brings all the psukim and the gemaras to explain and substantiate everything we said here. There's a pasuk in Tehillim that we say every Shabbos morning, Penei Hashem bo'oisei ro, lehachris me'eretz zichron. The face of Hashem is towards the evildoers to cut away from the land their memory. Again, the land referring Eretz Yisrael, and over there Rabbeinu Zal expounds on this in a very, very big way. But now Rav Nosson Zal is going to make his presentation regarding Purim, and along the way will include all the different concepts that Rabbeinu Zal presents over there in Likut Imran, show us how they're all related to the holiday of Purim. Any questions, please? Okay, we begin. Rav Nosson Zal says, Ayin Shom Kol Zeh Heitev Heitev. Study that chapter in the Likut Imran very well, because there's obviously a lot. V'zeh B'chinas Purim. And this is all tied into the holiday of Purim. Ki homon mizera amolek hume oilam ritzua mardus li Yisrael. Haman, who is a descendant of Amalek, throughout the generations, is always a stick, a whip, that's used, chas v'shalom, to punish Klal Yisrael when we deserve to be punished, unfortunately. She'enoi ro tomid b'Yisrael. He is always looking, Amalek and all of his descendants are always looking with an evil eye at Klal Yisrael. V'tekev kisheyotzu Yisrael mimitzrayim, and as soon as the Jews left Egypt, v'hayom nivka mepneihem, and the sea split to allow us to go through it, uparoi v'chayolov nitbuboy, and Paroi and all of his armies were drowned in the sea. Hoyo la Amolek ayin ro aleihem. Amolek was looking at us with this evil eye. Va'omad aleihem, and he rose up against us. V'hashemiz borach oicheiz b'mishpat yodo yolov. And Hashem holds his judgment, his justice, the justice of his hand over Amalek, umarich apoyolov, and Hashem exercises incredible patience regarding Amalek, zezman rav moi, for a very, very long time, for generations. Milchomol Hashem b'Amalek midor dor. If Hashem wanted to, he could finish Amalek in a second. And yet Hashem is holding out. Hashem is controlling the mishpat, holding back the mishpat. And it's through this that Hashem is battling Amalek, Kavyochel, Bibchinas, as the Pasuk says, Ki Yod al Keis Ko. The hand is upon the throne of Hashem, Milchomol Hashem b'Amalek midor dor, waging the war, the battle against Amalek from generation to generation. Because through this itself, that Kaviyochel Hashem is judging the Rosha favorably, that it's not the time yet to destroy him. Let's give him a little more time. And Hashem holds back the judgment from the Rosha. Hashem doesn't pull the switch to electrocute him, to destroy him. This is what ends up saving the tzaddik. And this is what eventually, at the right time, brings about the downfall of the Rosha, as Rabbi Nazal explains over there in Likutei Moran. And this is what Rabbi Nazar writes over there towards the end of that chapter on the Likutei Moran, Shebetchila, at first, Penei Hashem Mustar Ba'oseira. The face of Hashem is hidden regarding those evildoers, Kedei Lahachrisam, in order to bring about their final destruction. Hainu meaning, Shebetchila Hashem Yisborach Mastir Ponov Mehatzadik. At first, Hashem is hiding his face from the tzaddik. V'noisein b'yodoi kaviyochel gedula l'harosha. And Hashem is using his hand to empower the rosha. Bibchinas, as the pasuk says, ki ato omol vokas, you are full of anger, tabit loseis b'yodecho, and you look to give this with your hand. Nimtza, Shepnei Hashem Mustar Ba'isara. This implies that the face of Hashem is hidden from these evildoers. It makes believe he doesn't see. Vaidezeh Yeshlem Kol Hagedula Vakovoi. And this is what gives them all of this greatness and honor. Machma Shepnei Hashem Mustar Bohem. Because of the fact that the face of Hashem is hidden in them, in a sense. Vecholzeh. And all of this is in order to destroy them eventually. Because the Gemara makes a very famous statement, Ki ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu nifra mehauma ad shetismale sa'osa. Hashem doesn't exact retribution against a nation. Hashem doesn't pay a nation the punishment that it deserves before they first get their fill. Hashem lets them fill up with seeming successes, making them more and more bloated, bigger and bigger, so that when Hashem punctures their bubble, it'll make a bigger bang. There's a pasuk, Lifnei Shever Goin. Before destruction, there's elevation. V'alkein, and therefore, Kishashim Yisborach Roya Shemizgaber Ezer Rosha, She'enoi Roa Bahatzadik. When Hashem sees that an evil person who's looking with an evil eye at a tzaddik, that he's rising in power, va'adayin lo higia hazman lahachris harosha, however, the time has not yet arrived to destroy him, to eliminate him, Azaya Shemizborach Malamed Zchus. Hashem judges him favorably. V'oicheiz b'mishpat yodoy. And Hashem holds back the judgment. U'bozeh b'yatzmoy matzil es hatzadik hanal. And by doing this, Hashem protects the tzaddik. V'hatzadik nischazek al yidei zeh. And the tzaddik through this becomes strong. U'mispalel al tzrochov. And the tzaddik davens for everything he needs. V'gam hatzadik b'yatzmoy tzorech l'lamed olav zchus. And the tzaddik also has to judge Hashem favorably and has to be malamed zchus on the Rosha that his time has not yet come, the time for him to be eliminated. U'lechazek liboy l'spal kanal. And the tzaddik has to encourage himself and strengthen himself to daven. Ad shezoich elovoy l'b'chinas Eretz Yisrael. Until the tzaddik is zoiched to connect to the aspect of Eretz Yisrael. And then the tzaddik gets to see happen to the Rosha what the Rosha wanted to make happen to the tzaddik. And Hashem knows all hidden things. Hashem knew and understood that during the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, the time had not yet arrived to wipe out Amalek. Ki adayin lo yibolu Eretz Yisrael, because the Jews had not yet arrived in Eretz Yisrael. V'alkein ochaz b'yodoyes ha-mishpot. And therefore Hashem held the mishpot in his hand. He held back the stick. V'lo tzivu l'hachrisoy l'gamri. And Hashem did not instruct Moshe Rabbeinu to eliminate Amalek completely. Kama Shapirish Rashi Shom, as Rashi points out over there at the end of Parshas Beshalach, Sheloi Chotach Rak Roshe Giboirov, that Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jews only cut off the heads of the leaders of Amalek at that time. And the Rashi points out, Mikan She'osu Al Pi Adibur, we see from the wording in the pasuk there that they were following the instructions of Hashem, that Hashem made it clear that the time right now is not the time to erase Amalek completely, like it was during the time of Shaul HaMelech. V'zeh b'chinas v'choyo kasher yore Moshe yodoy v'govar Yisrael, and this is why the pasuk says that when Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hand, the Jews became powerful. V'kasher yoniach yodoy, and when he let his hands down, Amalek gained power. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was doing battle against Amalek through this aspect of the hand. Because Rav Nosson Zal asks, there seems to be an obvious question here. If Moshe Rabbeinu sees that every time he's lifting up his hands, Amalek is being defeated, then why put down his hands at all? However, Moshe Rabbeinu also knew and understood that the time had not yet arrived for the complete elimination of Amalek. And Moshe Rabbeinu was forced to do battle with Amalek through this hand. Not to exact complete justice against Amalek, kiim ktsas hamuchrach, but only the amount of justice that was required for that time period. Avul b'shar hamishpot shoyem agialoi, but regarding the rest of the justice that Amalek really deserved, ochaz biyodo yes hamishpot, Moshe Rabbeinu held back that justice. Vaydezeh biatzmoi, and it's through this that the tzaddik and Klal Yisrael are saved from the Rasha at a time like that. Until we will arrive at the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, and then will be the final elimination of Amalek. And that's why it says, when Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his hands, the Jews got stronger. When he lowered his hands, Amalek got stronger. Moshe Rabbeinu was regulating the battle just to the point where Amalek would receive just the right amount of justice that Hashem wanted him to get at that time, but not to eliminate him completely until the Jews were completely empowered by being in Eretz Yisrael. Any questions, please? Okay, we'll hold it over here. We didn't complete the paragraph. We'll continue from Vezehu Vayhi Yodav Emuna Mirtz Hashem tomorrow in the next shiur. Wishing everybody a wonderful day. We should be zecher today. Right now we're in Eretz Yisrael. We're broadcasting from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. We should see Hashem bring about the final and complete elimination of all the enemies of Klal Yisrael with the coming of Moshiach ben David and the building of the third and final Beis Hamikdash, b'mheira b'yameinu, amen v'amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Rav Nachum.
Sure.
Amen.
Thank you, Rav Nachum. Sure. Thank you so much.
A wonderful day to all.
Thank you very much, Rav Nachum. Have a good day.
You too.